You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on grit. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Note on grit, the power of passion and perseverance by Angela Duckworth. As always, let's kick it off with a quote. Why were the highly accomplished so dogged in their pursuits? For most, there was no realistic expectation of ever catching up to their ambitions. In their own eyes, they were never good enough. They were the opposite of complacent. And yet, in a very real sense, they were satisfied with being unsatisfied. Each was chasing something of unparalleled interest and importance, and it was the chase, as much as the capture, that was gratifying. Even if some of the things they had to do were boring or frustrating or even painful, they wouldn't dream of giving up. Their passion was enduring. In sum, no matter the domain, the highly successful had a kind of ferocious determination that played out in two ways. First, these exemplars were unusually resilient and hardworking. Second, they knew in a very, very deep way what it was they wanted. They not only had determination, they had direction. It was this combination of passion and perseverance that made high achievers special. In a word, they had grit. End quote. That is Angela Duckworth from Grit. Angela Duckworth is the world's leading authority on the science of grit. In fact, she pioneered the field and, as Daniel Gilbert says on the cover, quote, psychologists have spent decades searching for the secret of success, but Duckworth is the one who found it. End quote. So what is grit? In essence, it's the combination of intense passion plus intense perseverance toward a long-term goal that matters to you. In this great book, Angela connects her research to a bunch of the other positive psychology luminaries we feature, ranging from Martin Seligman, who was her mentor at the University of Pennsylvania PhD program, and Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, to Anders Ericsson, Gabriel Oettingen, and Carol Dweck, and others. Plus, she shares a bunch of inspiring stories about grit paragons while walking us through the key aspects of grit and teaching us how we can cultivate grit in our lives and in the lives of those we love and lead. This is one of those books that I think is a must-read if you're serious about optimizing and actualizing while helping others do the same. It's my new favorite for 2016. I think you'll really love it. As you can imagine, the book is packed with a bunch of big ideas. I'm excited to share a handful of my favorites we can apply to our lives today, so let's jump in. Before we do that, little PS, have you already seen Angela's TED Talk? If not, there's a link to it in the note. First big idea, Beast, plus the science of grit. Quote, by the last day of Beast, 71 cadets had dropped out. Grit turned out to be an astoundingly reliable predictor of who made it through and who did not. The next year, I returned to West Point to run the same study. This time, 62 cadets dropped out of Beast. And again, grit predicted who would stay. In contrast, stayers and leavers had indistinguishable whole candidate scores. I looked a little closer at the individual components that make up the score. Again, no difference. So, what matters for making it through Beast? Not your SAT scores, not your high school rank, not your leadership experience, not your athletic ability, not your whole candidate score. What matters is grit. End quote. So Angela's research on the power of grit begins at West Point, where new cadets are put through a grueling summer welcome called Beast Barracks, or just Beast. For 2 months, these cadets, who spent the better part of 2 years trying to get into West Point, are put through a super challenging initiation designed to help them, quote, make the transition from new cadet to soldier. A ton drop out during those grueling 7 weeks. Military scientists have been trying to predict who would drop out for decades. They couldn't figure it out. Although their whole candidate score, which measures things like GPA, SAT, and leadership plus athletic experience, did predict who would do well over the course of the 4 years at West Point, it didn't predict who would actually stick around long enough to graduate. Enter Angela Duckworth and her grit scale, a super simple 10-question test, get a link to it in the note, that has provided the most accurate prediction of who would make it through. As Angela says, quote, half of the questions were about perseverance. They asked how much you agree with statements like, I have overcome setbacks to conquer an important challenge, and I finish whatever I begin. The other half of the questions were about passion. They asked whether your interests change from year to year and the extent to which you have obsessed with a certain idea or project for a short time, but later lost interest. Passion plus perseverance. Grit. If you want to make it through the beast challenges in your life, you'd be wise to cultivate it. Let's explore how. Next big idea. Want grit? Remember, effort counts twice. Quote, I have been working on the theory of the psychology of achievement since Marty scolded me for not having one. I have pages and pages of diagrams filling more than a dozen lab notebooks. After more than a decade of thinking about it, sometimes alone and sometimes in partnership with close colleagues, I finally published an article in which I lay down two simple equations that explain how you get from talent to achievement. Here they are. Talent times effort equals skill. Skill times effort equals achievement. Talent is how quickly your skills improve when you invest effort. Achievement is what happens when you take your acquired skills and use them. Of course, your opportunities, for example, having a great teacher, matter tremendously too, and maybe more than anything about the individual. My theory doesn't address these outside forces, nor does it include luck. It's about the psychology of achievement, but because psychology isn't all that matters, it's incomplete. Still, I think it's useful. What this theory says is that when you consider individuals in identical circumstances, what each achieves depends on just two things, talent and effort. Talent, how fast we can improve a skill, absolutely matters. But effort factors into the calculations twice, not once. Effort builds skill. At the very same time, effort makes skill productive. End quote. As a good conservative scientist, Angela is careful to point out that there's more to achieving great things than just the psychology of achievement, great teachers, luck, etc. But if you look at individuals in the same situation, you'll find two simple variables that will make the difference in what each achieves, talent plus effort. And although talent, defined by Angela as how quickly you can improve your skills when you put in the effort, is important, effort is counted twice. And of course, we have control over how much effort we put in, which is exciting. So to recap the equations, talent times effort equals skills, skills times effort equals achievement. The amount of effort we put into cultivating our talent equals our skills. The amount of effort we put into giving our skills to the world equals our achievement. A simple equation that says a lot about the psychology of achievement. Remember, effort counts twice. Little PS here, Angela quotes Will Smith a few times in this chapter. He says, quote, I've never really viewed myself as particularly talented. Where I excel is ridiculous, sickening work ethic. And he says, quote, the only thing that I see that is distinctly different about me is I'm not afraid to die on a treadmill. I will not be outworked, period. You might have more talent than me. You might be smarter than me. You might be sexier than me. You might be all of those things. You got it on me in 9 categories. But if we get on the treadmill together, there's two things. You're getting off first, or I'm going to die. It's really that simple. I've got a link to a video of Will Smith sharing that awesomeness. Check out the note for that link. Effort counts twice. Next big idea. Gritty passion equals compass versus fireworks. Quote, what I mean by a passion is not just that you have something you care about. What I mean is that you care about the same ultimate goal in an abiding, loyal, steady way. You are not capricious. Each day, you wake up thinking of the questions you fell asleep thinking about. You are, in a sense, pointing in the same direction, ever eager to take even the smallest step forward, then to take a step to the side towards some other destination. At the extreme, one might call your focus obsessive. Most of your actions derive their significance from their allegiance to your ultimate concern, your life philosophy. You have your priorities in order. End quote. Gritty people figure out what they are really committed to, and then they give themselves to it for years or decades or an entire lifetime. As Angela says, their passion is less like fireworks that come intensely and then fade away, and more like a compass that guides every moment of their entire lives. They don't run around chasing one goal after another. They have an ultimate concern, a top-level goal that drives all the other goals. They have their one thing that Gary Keller described so powerfully, and they're willing to be seen as obsessed, Grant Cardone, 10X rule style. Here's an example of a grit paragon that Angela shares. Tom Seaver. Tom is a Hall of Fame pitcher who received the highest ever percentage of votes, 98.8%. That's crazy. He pitched for 20 years and racked up some crazy stats. 311 wins, 3,640 strikeouts, 61 shutouts, a 2.86 lifetime ERA. Here's how he approached his ultimate concern slash one thing goal to structure everything he did in his life. He says this, quote, "Pitching determines what I eat, when I go to bed, what I do when I'm awake. It determines how I spend my life when I'm not pitching. If it means I have to come to Florida and can't get tanned because I might get a burn that would keep me from throwing for a few days, then I never go shirtless in the sun. If it means I have to remind myself to pet dogs with my left hand or throw logs on the fire with my left hand, then I do that too. If it means in the winter I eat cottage cheese instead of chocolate chip cookies in order to keep my weight down, then I eat cottage cheese." End quote. Reminds me of the black hole focus idea we talk about in Purpose 101. And Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi shares the same wisdom in his study of the most eminent creators. See the notes on creativity where he tells us, quote, "After a creative energy is awakened, it is necessary to protect it. We must erect barriers against distractions, dig channels so that energy can flow more freely, find ways to escape outside temptations and interruptions," end quote. So spotlight on you. Do you jump from thing to thing to thing, following your passion fireworks style? Or are you guided by a deep, abiding passion, an ultimate concern that serves as a compass for all you do? Let's get gritty with our passion. Let's find the thing that's worthy of us and give ourselves to it. Little PS here, Angela makes the important point that she has one ultimate concern for her professional life and she's committed to being an extraordinary mother to her two daughters. Super inspiring. Here's her top level professional life goal. She says, "My top level life organizing goal is and will be until my last breath, use psychological science to help kids thrive." PPS. In this section, Angela talks about Gabrielle Oettingen's work on rethinking positive thinking. Check out the notes plus interview and remember to whoop. Next big idea, how to grow your grit. The four psychological assets. Quote, "In fact, when people drop out of things, they do so for a reason. Actually, they do so for different reasons. Any of the following four thoughts might go through your head right before you quit what you're doing. I'm bored. The effort isn't worth it. This isn't important to me. I can't do this, so I might as well give up." There's nothing wrong, morally or otherwise, with thoughts like these. As I tried to show in this chapter, paragons of grit quit goals too. But the higher the level of the goal in question, the more stubborn they are about seeing it through. Most important, paragons of grit don't swap compasses. When it comes to the one singularly important aim that guides almost everything else they do, the very gritty tend not to utter the statements above. Together, the research reveals the psychological assets that mature paragons of grit have in common. There are four. They counter each of the buzz killers listed above, and they tend to develop over the years in a particular order, end quote. So we all quit things, and as we discuss in Born for This, that is often the wise thing to do. But the grittiest among us don't quit the compass-driven, top-level, ultimate concern goals. That's what makes them gritty. Angela tells us there are four psychological assets we can cultivate to get our grit on. Here they are. Interest plus practice plus purpose plus hope. Let's look at each individually. Interest. If we want sustainable passion, we need to be intrinsically drawn to what we do. It needs to fire us up. We need to love it. We all have facets of what we do that aren't particularly awesome, but we're just not going to put in the effort over the long run unless we, like the grit paragons, have a, quote, enduring fascination and childlike curiosity and practically shout, "I love what I do." Do you? Second component is practice. Angela talks about Anders Ericsson's research on deliberate practice and juxtaposes plus integrates it with Csikszentmihalyi's work on flow in a super cool way. Check out the book for that. And she points out that one key aspect of perseverance is the ability to discipline ourselves to show up every single day with an attitude of whatever it takes, I want to improve. See the notes on Peak for more on that. The third psychological asset of grit is purpose. Purpose is all about seeing that our work matters in the world. It's essential that we love what we do, but we're not going to sustain our interest over the long run if it's just about us. We need to make the connection to something bigger than ourselves. Angela tells us that fully mature exemplars of grit invariably tell her, "My work is important, both to me and to others." And finally, our fourth psychological asset is hope. Hope defines every stage of grit. It's the rising to the occasion kind of perseverance in which we know that we have the ability to achieve what we set out to do. Angela tells us, if we stay down, grit loses. If we get up, grit prevails. Check out our notes on making hope happen for more on the science of hope. Interest, practice, purpose, hope. How are you doing with each of those assets? What are you rocking? And what can you optimize? The next big idea is grit plus wise parenting versus not-so-wise parenting. Quote, indeed, over the past 40 years, study after carefully designed study has found that the children of psychologically wise parents fare better than children raised in any other kind of household. In one of Larry's studies, for example, about 10,000 American teenagers completed questionnaires about their parents' behavior. Regardless of gender, ethnicity, social class, or parents' marital status, teens with warm, respectful, and demanding parents earned higher grades in school, were more self-reliant, suffered from less anxiety and depression, and were less likely to engage in delinquent behavior, end quote. Now that's from a chapter on parenting for grit, in which Angela walks us through the virtue of wise parenting, vis-a-vis authoritarian parenting, permissive parenting, and neglectful parenting. Here's the short story. Wise parents are both warm and demanding. They have high standards and they offer total support. On the other hand, authoritarian parents have high standards but low warmth. Permissive parents have high warmth but low standards. Neglectful have neither. Check out the micro class, which I linked to in the note, for more on that. So, wise parenting is a good idea. But if you really want to cultivate grit in your kids, you must embody the qualities of grit yourself. You have to have passion plus perseverance for your own life goals. Do you? Little PS, did you know the Latin root of the word parenting literally means to bring forth? To bring forth potential. That's our job, not just as parents, but as teachers, coaches, and leaders. PPS, as part of their wise parenting advice, Angela and her family have what she calls the hard thing rule. In short, everyone in the family picks something challenging that they're committed to mastering. For Angela, it's her psychological research. For her husband, it's his real estate development. For their daughters, it includes things like ballet and piano. Three rules. One, you need to deliberately practice daily. Two, you can quit, but not until the season is over. No quitting on a bad day midway through. You got to finish. And three, you pick your hard thing. You need to be intrinsically interested in it. Might be cool for your family, definitely cool for ours. Give it a shot. All right, that leads us to our final big idea. You are a gritty genius. Quote, you're no genius, my dad used to say when I was just a little girl. I realize now that he was talking to himself as much as he was talking to me. If you define genius as being able to accomplish great things in life without effort, then he was right. I'm no genius, and neither is he. But if instead you define genius as working toward excellence ceaselessly with every element of your being, then, in fact, my dad is a genius, and so am I, and if you're willing, so are you. End quote. Want to be a genius? Let's discover our passion and give ourselves to it with a fierce commitment to excellence plus service over the rest of our lives. Here's to grit, my friend. You are a gritty genius. I hope you enjoyed this quick look at grit. Highly recommend it. Awesome book. Angela Duckworth, PhD, is a 2013 MacArthur Fellow, aka MacArthur Genius, and a professor of psychology at the University of Pennsylvania. She has advised the White House, the World Bank, NBA and NFL teams, and Fortune 500 CEOs. She is also the founder and scientific director of the Character Lab, a nonprofit whose mission is to advance the science and practice of character development. She completed her BA in neurobiology at Harvard, her MSc in neuroscience at Oxford, and her PhD in psychology at the University of Pennsylvania. Connect with her at angeladuckworth.com. If you enjoyed this note, check out our notes to all the other positive psychology classics. Those are linked in the introduction. And some others in particular you may like: Learned Optimism by Martin Seligman, her mentor; Flow by Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi; Peak by Anders Ericsson; Mindset by Carol Dweck; Rethinking Positive Thinking by Gabrielle Odingen. If you haven't checked those out yet, those are among my favorites. Check them out or review them, whatever. Win Forever by Pete Carroll. I didn't share any of the stories, but she spent some time with the Seattle Seahawks, talks a lot about Pete Carroll and his awesomeness. We talk about that in his great book, Win Forever. See those notes. The One Thing, Mastery by Robert Greene, and Thanks by Robert Emmons. And then finally, The 10X Rule by Grant Cardone. Now, for some great quotes from the sidebar, we'll wrap it up. All of these are from Angela. She tells us, grit depends on a different kind of hope. It rests on the expectation that our own efforts can improve our future. I have a feeling tomorrow will be better is different from I resolve to make tomorrow better. The hope that gritty people have has nothing to do with luck and everything to do with getting up again. There's an old Japanese saying, fall 7, rise 8. If I were ever to get a tattoo, I'd get these four simple words indelibly inked, Angela tells us. The bottom line on culture and grit is, if you want to be grittier, find a gritty culture and join it. If you're a leader and you want the people in your organization to be grittier, create a gritty culture. I came to a fundamental insight that would guide my future work. Our potential is one thing. What we do with it is quite another. Without effort, your talent is nothing more than your unmet potential. Without effort, your skill is nothing more than what you could have done but didn't. With effort, talent becomes skill, and at the very same time, effort makes skill productive. Eventually, if you keep practicing in the same time and place, what once took conscious thought to initiate becomes automatic. There is no more miserable human being, observed William James, than the one for whom every beginning of every bit of work must be decided anew each day. Interest is one source of passion. Purpose, the intention to contribute to the well-being of others, is another. The mature passions of gritty people depend on both. In my grit lexicon, therefore, purpose means the intention to contribute to the well-being of others. Author and activist James Baldwin once put it this way: children have never been very good at listening to their elders, but they have never failed to imitate them. And finally, to be gritty is to keep putting one foot in front of the other. To be gritty is to hold fast to an interesting and purposeful goal. To be gritty is to invest day after week after year in challenging practice. To be gritty is to fall down 7 times and rise 8. There you go. Grit, the power of passion plus perseverance. I hope you enjoyed it. What was your favorite big idea? Think about it, reflect on it, write about it, share it, and go live it. Have another awesome, gritty day.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to brianjohnson.me to download more.